that was about the choices that we make in our life. And we've been in just a short teaching on faith versus faith, teaching on is our life governed by faith or is our life governed by, you know, faith. And I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that we've come to the conclusion that that the just shall live by faith. Amen? And that is where God has us. God has us in the life of faith, not the life of fate. Fate is the world's mentality and their belief system on what they believe, that my life is already fated. That is, that my life has already been predetermined, which out of it comes a Calvinistic doctrine that we have. Thank you, Jim. That we have, that that many teach, but we do not adhere to. And we do not adhere that there have been those who have been ordained to be saved, and that there have been those who have been ordained to be damned. We do not believe that. We believe that God has given us a free will to choose. We see the principle in the Garden of Eden where God created that ability for man to choose. We get into a lot of things. I don't want to get into it tonight because I want to get into the message of the kingdom and the message of how that our choices are governed, the things that we speak out of our mouth, and how that we struggle many times in the fact of prayer, and that we are believing towards things all the time, and how that frustration can enter into our life simply because we are not really operating according to the principles that God has given to us. And so there's a couple things that I just want to show you tonight. So let's go to Proverbs. I believe we're going to look at the 14th chapter. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, and then I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. And I'm just going to just briefly set a foundation here, and then we're going to go into Luke tonight for a little bit. And I don't know how far I'm going to get. So will you be patient as I work through this tonight? And so in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, and there is a way. Everybody say, there is a way. Amen. How many? See, there's two ways. There is your way, and then there is God's way. And here, there is a way that seemeth right unto who? To a man, but its end is the way of death. And somebody said, well, Pastor, what if that way is Christ? Well, that's not what he's... The description here in Proverbs chapter 14, it's not what the original Hebrew is saying. It is a man thinketh in his heart that he is right. It is not the connotation here is not saying that a man, that there is a way that he believes that God has ordained for him, but that he believes the way that he is taking is right. How many here tonight know, Pastor, I have been down that journey. I have been down the journey of the way that I thought was right, but what did it lead to? It led to what? It led to death. It led to a destructive life. A man soweth unto the Spirit, he reapeth life. If he sows under the whirlwind, he reaps destruction. And so I want you to hear this tonight because it's important to understand, is Pastor, why, and I guess that part of this is doing an inventory. I was doing an inventory of certain things, of going back and doing an inventory of my life and doing good decisions versus bad decisions. And I realized that any time that those bad decisions were made in my life, it was because that I believed that what I was doing was right. Now let me stop here just for a minute here. In the context of saying that we're right, it's not because we believe that we are right sometimes. Sometimes it's just that we want to be right. Come on, somebody help me. Amen? It's not because we're convinced that we're right. It's because we believe, we want to be right. We don't want to do this. That's why that sometimes that we are. So God set up this world, and he set certain moral standards, and he set certain standards for man to follow. And within every man, every woman is built the nature of God. That means that every man and woman that's born, it does not have the redeemed nature of God, but they are made in the image of God. Okay? So they're made in His image, and that is that they are trifold, they are threefold, in body, soul, and spirit. But until their spirit has been redeemed, they are not in the image. They were created. Man was created in the image of God, but when he sinned, then the image of God was lost in him. Sin destroyed the image of God in man. Amen? And for us to come back to that place, he had to send Jesus Christ to die for us so that we could be recreated in the image of the Father. Amen? So when we are outside the image of God, we are going to do what we deem is right, what we think is right in our own eyes. And there in Judges, and I've been ministering out of Judges and Ruth, and I keep going back to that scripture because it seems to be so relevant. Can you turn my ear on, brother, and point it towards me? And it seems so relevant in that in the last verse of the book of Judges said, and they did what was right in their own eyes. And so, therefore, every man, did that which was right in his own eyes. And we know that the book of Ruth was during the time of Judges, and Elimelech did that which was right in his own eyes. And in the time of hardship, in the time of poverty, he said, I'm going to leave Bethlehem, Judah. I'm going to leave the place of bread. I'm going to leave the place of praise. I'm going to leave the word. I'm going to leave worship. And I'm going to move towards what I think is right. I'm going to move from here, and I'm going to move to Moab. I want you to think about this. We're going to move from a place to where we know that God lives and God reigns. Amen? But how many people have done that which they thought was in the right in their own eyes, and he moved to the land of idleness? Not idol worship. It was idol worship there. Moab was a god, but how many knows that there was a god that was created out of Moab? But Moab in its Hebrew means the place of idleness. It means idleness. And so from that place, we move into it. And so what happened was, we know the story of how that Elimelech passed away. Amen? He died, and then his two sons died. And so in that place, when she left Bethlehem, Judah, she left full. But what happened was, she said she returned empty. And this is the result because of why? Because of doing that which is right in our own eyes. And the reason why that is a prevalent mentality in the land we live in is because America is a democratic society. You know that, don't you? Amen? You're allowed to shout on Wednesday night. Amen? Amen. I need to know you're alive, and I need to know you're with me. So you need to open your mouths. Amen? Wednesdays is not Sunday. Amen? How many hears what I'm saying to you? So come alive, awaken yourselves, and say amen. There you go. So here, in that context, why, Pastor? Well, it's very simple. What transpires here is that man does this in his own eyes. Why? Because there is an opposition. Because when we are born again, I said when we are born again and we are redeemed, we leave the kingdom of darkness, and then we are translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not the kingdom of darkness. The ruler of the kingdom of darkness that was there, that kingdom, is ruled by our own desires. It's ruled by the god of this world, okay? By the god of this world, the prince of darkness rules that world. It doesn't rule us. Are you listening to me? Turn to somebody and say, the prince of darkness does not rule us. But the prince of this world and the demons of this world rule the kingdom of darkness. But I want you to know that even though they are there and darkness rules those who live in darkness, I want you to know that God is even in the darkness. And we learned that in Psalms, that no matter where I go, whether I go to heaven, you are there. If I descend into hell, you are there. And so, therefore, God says, look, heaven is a place where I rule, but I also rule in hell too. So if you find yourself in hell, know that God is there and He can redeem you even from the hell that you find yourself in. Are you hearing me tonight? And so in this, we are translated in that we are moved from this kingdom to another kingdom. And to adjust to that kingdom, to walk and to produce fruit out of that kingdom, God is constantly reshaping, remolding our lives, our language, our actions, our lifestyle. The problem is that what we are born in America, and Americans don't understand about kingdom. They don't understand about king and queen. They don't understand, amen, a theocracy. They understand a democracy. Is that we all got a voice. We all got a right. If you don't believe it, just read Facebook and Twitter. We got a right to say and to do whatever we want. We have a voice. We have a voice. The church should be ran by democracy. No, ma'am. No, sir. This is a theocracy. There is a king over this, and he appoints the leadership that is in this house. Well, Pastor, that sounds domineering. It's only domineering to those who, again, who what? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Are you hearing me? Well, I ain't getting no amens on that. Amen. I think I've been here long enough. You know I'm not ruling with an iron fist. How many hears what I'm saying to you? But how many knows I rule? How many knows that God's placed me in headship? God's placed me as a senior pastor, as a senior shepherd here. God has placed me over this flock. But I don't rule with an iron fist. I don't rule as a dictator. Because I can't. Because I'm not the one who's in charge. He's in charge. I'm only the visionary that God has given the responsibility to implement that vision. Amen? So in Matthew 7 and 13 and 14, and again, we're coming into the kingdom. I'm going to go here to Luke in just a minute. But I want to read these scriptures because they're in my heart tonight. In Matthew 7, 13 and 14, enter by... Let me turn there because I don't think I have it all. Matthew 7. Matthew 7 and 13. He said, enter ye into the straight gate. Everybody say straight. It means narrow. Enter into what kind of gate? Okay, or the narrow gate. Enter ye at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to what? Okay, so there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. There is a way. Everybody say way. It's interesting because Jesus said, I am the way. This is a way. How many knows there's more than one way to Winston? Amen. Me and Pastor Karen have this little thing that goes all the time, and she has now passed it down to her son Steve. And for some reason, they are persuaded that when I'm driving, that I don't always know the better way. But what it is, it's not the better way or the best way, it's their way. And so I submit to that. You know, because I don't want to seem prideful to it, but you know, what? It's a shorter way. What, by 30 seconds? By a minute? Is that becomes the better way? You know, it's a way. It's not the way. It's your way. I have a way. You have a way. But that doesn't mean it's the way. Here in Proverbs, he talks about a way that seems right unto a man. Jesus said, I am the way. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is what leads to eternal salvation. It is the way. If we are constantly walking in a way, that means that we're not walking in the way. We're walking in a way that we have created. That way is a broad path. It's an easy path. Now, let me say something to you. I don't want to send the thought pattern here that to walk with Christ, that it's always a life of difficulty. But I am saying this, that the way of Christ is the way of the disciple. Don't shout me down. I just saw all the smiles come across your face when I used that word, disciple. But Jesus said, I want you to go into all the world preaching the gospel unto every nation, making people who wanted to walk a way. Their way. Is that what he said? He said, no. He said, I want you to make disciples of all men. Disciples is a disciplined one. It is one who is disciplined. Disciplined in what? Disciplined in the life of the kingdom, in the language of the kingdom, in the laws and the principles of the kingdom. God does not operate by emotion, because emotion is what finds a way. Amen? How many have said when you have been traveling, let's try a different way? Amen? How many knows the longest roads, the shortest roads or the shortest cuts turn into the longest cuts? Why? Well, because it may be an adventure, and if you have the time and you have the energy and the money to spend on the gas, it's great. And when I used to ride all the time, and I used to ride my motorcycle all the time in places, we didn't take maps. We would take different ways, and it was an adventure, and that's what you did. It was our way. It wasn't the way. It was our way because we wanted an adventure. I want you to understand is this tonight, that Jesus has a specific way. No, listen to me tonight. Jesus has a specific way that he does things. I'll say it one more time. Jesus has a specific way he does things. He doesn't do things. God didn't create. He was at the very beginning of creation. He was there in the beginning. When God created the earth, God didn't say, hey, whatever is going to be is going to be. Let the sun be this. I want it pink and I want it part blue. No, when God made the sun, he made it to be what it is. When God made the moon, he made it to be what it is. When God made the planets and God made the earth, he made it to be exactly. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, God is specific in the fact of what he was going to make and when he was going to make it. It doesn't describe here. It doesn't describe here in the sense of every fish. I mean, Lord, we'd have volumes of books to describe every fish, every animal that was created upon the earth. But you see, when you begin to look at creation, you look at the detail of every creature that is upon the face of the earth. The color, the detail, the dimensions of just a hummingbird alone or a bumblebee is enough to astound you and to boggle the mind. The bumblebee still boggles the mind of scientists because it is not logical. It goes against the principles of the dynamics of airflow and the flight. The bumblebee should not be able to fly. His fuselage is too big. It's too out of sorts. His wings are too small. But yet there is the bumblebee flying. Why? Because God said, this is my way. I choose for the bumblebee to fly. And I choose to confuse man in his wisdom that he can't understand how that happens. So here, we're not talking about a way. I've gotten into trouble. I realize that any time Sam, I've gotten into trouble because it was a way. It wasn't the way. It wasn't the way that God had designed for me. It was a way. It was a way that I, what? What did he say? There is a way that seemeth. I find it, the terminology here is interesting. There is a way that seemeth, that is not definitive, but that it is by supposition, by presumption on my part, that somehow I have thrown a collage of mishmash of thoughts and ideals and emotions, and I put them together and I said, this looks good enough. But you see, that's not the way that God operates. That's not the way that God moves. God doesn't move in a collage of confusion and irresponsibility. We have an excellent God. And so everything he does is with excellence. So when God created you, When God created His Son, when God created man, look what He did. He created an atmosphere that was the way. Not a way, but the way. He made it an exclusive place. Are you hearing me? He made it conducive. Look, He didn't put Him in the Mojave Desert. Are you hearing me? Here's the whole earth, and God creates the earth, and then the Bible says He created a garden and put the man in the garden. He put the man in the garden. You still not get it. He put the man in the garden. He put Brenda in Wilkesboro. Well, this ain't no garden. You need to look around, Pastor. I am. God put Mark Workman in the garden. God put Mark Workman in Wilkesboro. Oh, you all ain't catching on yet. Come on now. See, you're not catching on. See, here is the problem. The problem is there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but yet what does it lead to? It leads to destruction. Well, I hate Wilkesboro. There ain't nothing in here in Wilkesboro, and I can't wait to get out. And I can't wait for the day that I move out of this place. And I can't wait till I do something else. Well, then there seemeth a way that is right unto you. But you see, that doesn't mean that's the way. And I'm not saying just because God put you here that God's not going to put you someplace else. But if you're making your decision based upon your emotion or on your unrenewed mind, you see, that's where we get into problems. We don't operate according to the kingdom. The kingdom doesn't operate by my unemotional. It doesn't make any difference if I woke up this morning depressed. Guess what? The kingdom is still moving on. You know, just because I woke up in a bad mood, God doesn't say, well, come, hold it. Angelic forces, hold it. Let's wait for Mark. He's having a bad morning here. Slow it down. The boy's having some problems. And so God stops the whole kingdom. You say, Pastor, it's just silly. Is it? Is it really? See, I think the truth of it is that we don't realize is the kingdom is always moving forward. And the problem is that if you are going your way, if you're living in a way, your way, if you're living according to what you seem is right, if you haven't checked yourself, if you haven't said, God, what is your will? What is your purpose for me today? I'm in the kingdom. You have a purpose. You have a reason. See, every day you get up, every day you breathe the breath you have, every day that you got up, even though your bones may ache and you don't feel top notch and you don't feel 100%, guess what? God has a purpose for you to be in this world. God put you in the garden. God put you here. God placed you in this place. God has a divine purpose for your life. Don't curse what God has blessed. Don't, just because you're walking through hell, don't let hell get through and in you. Don't let the storm be a part of your life. God placed you in Wilkesboro. For what? For such a time as this. For such a time as this has God put you here. Why? Because God has a divine purpose. Well, I'm not happy about it. A way. Your way. Well, I think it's unfair, all the things that have happened to my life. Instead of you looking at somehow that you have been dealt these unfair cards,
that you have been dealt this unfair hand. Realize this, that whatever you have been dealt, God has given you the grace to be able to sustain. And God has given, look, you ain't going to be here forever. Your life is only a short time. But while you're in the garden, how about you stay out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you eat of any tree. You do what God has spoken to you, and stay away from the tree that has the serpent speaking into your life. Darling, that's a way, not the way. Because He stood and gave them another way. He stood and challenged it. God's way. Well, God don't know what that's not what God meant. God didn't really mean turn to the right and then turn to the left and then make sure you stay straight for 3¼ miles. God didn't really mean that. God didn't mean you're going to die. No. God knows that if you eat of that tree, you're going to be like God. Your eyes are going to finally be open. Yeah, they were going to be open. And the devil knew that if their eyes were open, that what would happen is that they would see their flesh instead of seeing what God had created. He was going to bring them because they believed and began to have faith in His way instead of maintaining their faith in God's divine way. Narrow is the way. Why is it narrow, Pastor? Because you got to pay attention where you're at. You got to be aware. When you're in a narrow path and you're walking, you've got to have hind feet. You've got to have hind feet. You've got to have feet that have been prepared by the gospel of peace, knowing that where you're walking, you know that's the plan and the purpose of God. Where you're at. And so you have hind feet in the midst of that, knowing that God has a purpose for you. But you gotta have spiritual attention. You can't get mesmerized by the situations in your life and deceived by the circumstances in your life. Why? Because God has a narrow path, a certain path, a distinctive path, a straight path for you to walk. See, you can't get, look, We it wouldn't hurt for us to preach a little holiness in the church. I know. I mean, I was raised, and this was a passage that it was easy for them to go to. But those who have gotten over into perverted grace have went to the other side. I don't want to preach about clothes, and I don't want to preach about that. But I do want you to understand that God has a moral standard that He has created in the earth. And I don't have the right to set my moral standard. You see, that's the problem with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's there where now you think you're equal with God. Now, your eyes are open, not your spiritual eyes. Your carnal eyes have now been opened. You've disobeyed God. You have now separated yourself from God because you believe the way you were going to do, the decision you are making, was the best decision. And what it is leading, look, you may not know it right away. You may not know it right away. Are you hearing me? When the car goes over the cliff, it doesn't hit immediately. There's that moment of suspension. You know, suspension. Amen? It's that feeling of floating in the air. I was watching a movie the other day. I don't know if you saw it. It's this movie about these horrendous tornadoes that hits this town. And there's a guy who's a storm chaser in it. And his whole thing is that, you know, he tries to find the perfect tornado when he gets caught up in this tornado with this vehicle that, you know, is built to withstand the tornado. Well, this massive tornado catches him up. And when he gets caught up into the eye of the tornado, here he sits, looking around in this glass, this surrounded, you know, pod at the top of his vehicle. And here he is, see, you know. And it's quiet. And it's beautiful. And it's peaceful. Until the tornado drops him. You don't hit the bottom at first. Adam and Eve didn't know the full consequences. Look, they didn't know when God said, in that day you shall surely die. Why not? Because they never knew what death was. See, death attacks our bodies on a constant basis. That's why that we live in fear, afraid of death overtaking our body in sickness or making us incapable. So we run constantly from that thing. But I am here to say to you is this, is that we have got to learn that if we live in the kingdom, that the king who is there in the kingdom, that is his rule. See, he is only the king where he rules. I'm just letting it set. Just letting it set in for you for a second. He only rules where we let him rule. Jesus is only king where his throne is. Whatever the extension of his rule is where Jesus is king. And whatever area of our life that it is our way, doing it our way, it's our thing, then we're the king. We're ruling. Amen? So what it is what? It is enter into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be which go therein. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that want find it. So the narrow path is something that we have to search for. We have to find. We have to be aware of. That's why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians is the New Testament book of Joshua. Ephesians is the doing book. Okay? That's what Ephesians is about. Ephesians is about doing and possessing. Amen? Moses, because of the people, it took him 40 years. When Joshua took over as the new head of Israel, he looked at him and said, I know some of you have looked at 40 years. We're not going to take 40 years. We're going to take this in 3 days. We're going over, and in 3 days, we're going to begin to possess the promised land. How many knows there's a distinct difference between the rule of Joshua and the rule of Moses? Amen? I appreciate the law, but Joshua, which is the Old Testament name for Yeshua, which he is a type of the Christ. So we realize that the Old Testament is the New Testament hid. But the New Testament is God's Old Testament revealed to us. So we realize that everything is fulfilled in the New Testament. Everything is fulfilled in the Christ. So in the Christ is what we possess. When we walk according to the law, when we walk according to the old covenant, when we walk even according to our own law, all we did was exist and live. But when we came into the new covenant, are you hearing me? And so that one part is the part of those who are unredeemed, those who are unsaved. They have no hope. But there are people who get saved but are still walking according to the Old Testament. And the reason why they're walking according to the Old Testament is because they're still walking according to their way instead of the way. Amen? Amen. So, in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6, I'm reading to you out of the NIV. And this translation is correct. He said, in all your ways, if you're there, say amen. So in all your ways, what? Take that word acknowledge. That word in the Hebrew means to submit. So it's not just the fact that, you know, that you're going, well, howdy there, God. That's not what that means. What that means is acknowledge is to acknowledge what? To acknowledge who he is. Okay? How many knows that whether we agreed with him or not, if President Obama came in here, how many knows that those who weren't fools, okay? And I would hope that we would realize that if President Obama, because of his office, not because we agree with every decision he makes, But if President Obama walked in, we would acknowledge him in what? Who he is. So we would submit to who he is. Because if he walked in the authority of his office, being the President of the United States, wherever he is, is his rule. Did you know that? That whether he's in Russia, whether he's in Iran, whether he's in Costa Rica, whether he's in Brazil, wherever the president is, the United States is. Are you hearing me? Say, Pastor, well that's simplistic. Of course it is. Guess what? Wherever Jesus is where the kingdom is. And you need to acknowledge him and his rule in your life. Amen? Look at it again. And so, in all your ways, submit to him, and he will direct your paths. You can turn that if you want, and you can put way. That he will direct your ways. But for that to be able to happen, what must I do? I'll wait. I'll let you look at your Bible again. Look at your Bible. Everybody look at your Bible. And what does your Bible say? In what? So does anybody know what that means in the Hebrew? It means all. Amen? So when he says to you, in all whose ways? In all our ways, that's what it says. Look at it, y'all. It says, in all your ways. Okay? In all your ways, in all my ways. You're getting confused because I'm pointing at you. Look, in all our ways. How about that? We'll use that. All our ways, acknowledge, submit to him. And then he will what? He will direct our paths. Now just stop. If you're taking notes, this is where we're headed. We're headed in a twofold here. We're headed in the fact of how is our prayer life more effective and more fruitful. And how that's going to happen is understanding the principles of the kingdom. Because if I'm not operating in all my ways, and I'm not submitting to this, what am I saying? Well, I'm looking to him. If I submit to somebody, if I go on a job, and I don't know how to do that job, I have to what? To the person who is training me. I've got to submit. I've got to acknowledge them. What am I acknowledging? I'm acknowledging their greater knowledge and ability to do what I can't do. Now, don't you think it'd be kind of foolish? You know, to shove the person, I can do this. It don't even look that hard. Amen? Anybody ever done that when you went on a job? I hope not. Because you ain't working there very long. Right? So you acknowledge that person. You submit. It doesn't matter how ugly that person's talking to you. Doesn't matter what they're saying. It doesn't matter what color they are. Doesn't matter whether they're tall or skinny or fat. You don't like fat, bald people. But there they are. They're training you for your future. Hello? Are you hearing me? But for me to be able to get a paycheck, I have to submit so that he can teach you. So he can teach you. You've got to submit to be able to be shown, to be trained, so that you can be equipped. So that you can be equipped with the ability to function properly on that job. To be able to function in the kingdom, you have to be equipped to be able to function. Your citizenship changed from this world to the kingdom of God. But some people haven't changed completely yet. They are still got two citizenships. Oh, somebody help me in this house tonight. Are you listening to me? How many's ever kept two citizenships? Sure, we have. A citizenship in the world and a citizenship in the kingdom. Oh, we said we didn't, but we don't. How many knows? We all. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. First John, in the First John alone, he tells us that if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. How many knows? Every time we sin, what are we doing? Going back into that other country. I don't like the kingdom right now because I want my way, and we can't do that in the kingdom. Oh, you don't. We don't process it that way. I said we don't process it that way. But how many knows? We watch, we listen, we play, we touch, we taste. I mean, what do you think these people are doing? In the fact, look, we're always surprised because some preacher, you know, did the horizontal hokey pokey with somebody, and we're like, oh my God, how could he do that? Because he gave up his citizenship. And said, I don't like the kingdom right now. The kingdom is too narrow. It's too straight. It's too restrictive. Amen? So I don't like this. And so what do? I'm going to step over here in the kingdom of self, in the kingdom of desires, the kingdom of lust, in the kingdom of my anger. Do you know, and listen to me, and we're going to touch on this more and more, the reason why that we struggle in seeing certain things happen in our life and why that we struggle trying to walk in the kingdom and producing fruit, because that's how that we know that we're walking in the kingdom, because that's what he said to the nation of Israel. Look, you're not going to hear me. You're not obeying me. And because you're not obeying me, I'm going to go to another people who are producing these fruits. Are you listening to me? That's what he declared to the Jewish nation. Because you have rejected me, I'm going to go to another people who are going to accept me, and they're going to produce the fruit, and they're going to make you jealous to want to come to me again. But nonetheless, here it is. So what happens is this, is that God is doing everything he can, and I'm going to touch on it in detail. He's doing everything he can to conform you to the image of his Son, to conform you to the kingdom of God, so that you can operate and live within the kingdom. And guess what the devil's doing? He's doing everything he can to keep you from living in that kingdom. So he is going to try to enhance in you and to bring out in you the anger, the lust, the pride, the selfishness, the very opposite of what the kingdom is, because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The principles of God are either about God, either that your relationship to God or God's relationship to you. Amen? So that's why that God puts the principles in us. How many hears it tonight? Is this good? Let me finish with Philippians 4. I'm past my time. How many give me 5 more minutes? Okay, that's all I need, one person. Philippians chapter 4. Amen. Where one, when two or more agree. I don't need all of you to agree with me. That's what, I mean, some pastors struggle with, like, well, my church don't agree. Well, why do we expect the church to agree, man, if all the church isn't walking in the kingdom? I mean, look, folks, we got multiple cultures that come to this church. Can you imagine how confusing and how stressful that would be if I was trying to conform and make every culture, every sect that's in this church happy? That you have a vision. You have a word. And this is the way you should do it, Pastor. And that's the way. And that doesn't happen here very often. And the reason being is because you have to understand something. My heart is set, not because I believe I'm right, but I know what God wants me to do. And what God wants me to do, I will never. If you don't believe that, ask my family. I never deviate from what God has told me to do. Amen? I've been down that road of going my way. Amen? You know the problem with the destruction, don't you? It's cleaning up the mess afterwards. Amen? How many hears what I'm saying to you? The problem with going my way is I'm the one that's got to clean up the mess. If you go His way, He'll clean up your mess and redeem you at the same time. He'll redeem you and restore you at the same time. But if you go your way, you're going to have to pay your own fare. Ask Jonah. Amen? He either was going to take a cruise ship to Nineveh, and God says, well, if you don't like that vehicle, I have another submarine for you that you can go in. Amen? You can either go this way, or you can go this way. This way or this way. You can either ride in a ship. Amen. Amen. Have your salsa and your chips. Amen. Sun on the deck. Or you can take my little special made vehicle that I've got for you. And you can live 3 days in the belly of hell. You see, the problem is we think to ourselves, we never process out the consequences. And the reason why is because the devil never tells you the consequences. He just tells you you're right. See, the devil, he never shares with you the end consequences. What he does is reaffirms your ability that you're right. You deserve this. You've had a tough time. You have a hard time. You're going through a hard place. You deserve this. No, what we deserve is the just shall live by faith. And if anything I realize today, the things in the times is when I didn't want to walk by faith, but I wanted to walk by sight. Amen? Because this narrow way cannot be found by sight. It has to be found by faith. Amen? Amen. 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 Well, praise God.